You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, it is that time. Time for another episode of Locked On Kings.
Well, I hope you recognize that voice that opens up the Locked On Kings podcast every single episode. That is longtime Sacramento Kings PA announcer Scott Moak. His voice echoes through the Golden One Center and to me has been synonymous with Sacramento Kings basketball for basically my entire life. I'm biased. I think he's the best at what he does in the NBA, and not only is he an amazing PA announcer that always brings the energy and the passion of Sacramento, he also is an incredible man and friend. Not only is he willing to host or introduce the Locked On Kings podcast for me, he is willing to be a guest on today's episode of Locked On Kings, where he's going to tell his very unique and fun story of how he became the PA announcer of the Kings. He's going to share interactions and stories, moments that he's had with different NBA players throughout his career, including fun interactions with both Kevin Durant and Tracy McGrady, plus so much more. Get ready. You're really going to enjoy this behind-the-scenes look here on the Locked On Kings podcast. Hello, everybody. Welcome into Locked On Kings, your podcast hub for Sacramento Kings coverage all regular season and all offseason. If you're looking for in-depth analysis, game-by-game breakdowns, highlights, interviews with local and national experts, full coverage of the Sacramento Kings from January through December, this is the place for you, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Matt George. I have the privilege of being your host here. I've been a Sacramento sports radio host for the last 6 years. Looking forward to starting my seventh season, whenever that will be, covering the Kings, both as an on-air host and a multimedia journalist. I have zero time to waste here today. This interview went long, but every second is enjoyable, so I'm going to get out of the way and get right into this interview today. My conversation with Sacramento Kings PA announcer, the one, the only, Scott Moak. He has a voice synonymous, at least to me, with Sacramento Kings basketball. He'd never admit it. He's much too humble. But if you go to the Golden One Center, or if you, like me, grew up in Arco Arena, you know his voice very well. I went from mimicking his voice every time I'd make a basket on the playground at school to now having him not only as the intro voice of the Locked On Kings podcast, but as a guest and a friend here today on Locked On Kings. It is Scott Moak, Sacramento Kings MC, dare I say, the legendary MC of the Sacramento Kings. Moak, it is a pleasure to have you on. My friend, so good to talk to you. I'm looking forward to hearing some stories from you and really getting a good understanding of your unique perspective sitting there right next to the floor on that table.
Well, that's certainly a nice introduction. It made me feel decades older than I already feel. COVID has put on I think I age a year every month, and so I feel older than ever. And then you talking about being, you know, 7 years old on the playground making baskets and saying, "Matt George," when you score, like, dude, come on, what are you trying to do? Kill me here? What's happening?
You're pretty close. I grew up a diehard fan of Mike Bibby to the point that I absolutely drove my mom crazy because every time we went to the barber shop, I wanted my hair buzzed all the way down so I would look like Mike Bibby. So every time I drain a shot, I'd be screaming out or doing your impression of your famous Mike Bibby call. But like I said, Moak, your voice is something that brings more to the environment of Sacramento Kings games. And I've had Scott Freshour on. We've talked about the excellence of Mo and Kat and the entire just Sacramento Kings production team that makes Kings basketball not just a basketball game. It makes it a show. It makes it an event. And there's a reason why, at least in my mind, even though the Kings have struggled to be successful for so many years, that building continues to be full. Fans continue to be engaged. It's a fun environment. It's an exciting environment. And only the Sacramento Kings can turn a 20-point blowout loss into still an entertaining evening, and you're a major part of that. So I've heard your story of how you got to the position that you're in, how you made your way into the seat that you're in, but a lot of listeners don't know how Scott Moak became the voice of the Golden One Center and of Arco Arena. So do you mind sharing a little bit about how you got to that position?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, quite a bit of luck, a little bit of timing. Probably not a lot of skill for sure went into it. It was, you know, I grew up like you did going to Kings games when I was 12 and 13 years old. My dad would take me to games at Arco 1 and then ultimately Arco 2. And so I was like you, you know, born and raised a Kings fan. So when I had the opportunity after Fred Anderson had passed away, a couple years went by. He was obviously the long time and great PA announcer whose name whose voice I still hear in my head, especially like thinking about Corliss Williamson baskets and Mitch Richmond baskets. That's the voice for sure. I still hear to this day. And so when he sadly passed away, a couple years went by and they had an open tryout for the PA job. So me, along with, you know, 160 some odd of my closest enemies, tried out, put our names in the hat at least. And we ascended upon a sports bar that doesn't even exist anymore. It's now where that Starbucks is, right across from Cal Expo. Used to be a place called Carlos Murphy's, I think, or something to that effect. And they basically, for all of us, we had 1 minute to announce, do a public address announcing to King's video that was projected up on a big screen TV there inside the sports bar. So I thought I did a pretty decent job. I ended up getting a call back. They narrowed it down from 160 to 80 and then to 40. Subsequently, they kept narrowing it down to where I was one of four finalists. They let each of the four of us an actual game, a preseason game during that season. It was the 2000 season. Ironically, one of those finalists was Eric Hasseltine too. That's one thing that people might not remember or know. Obviously he's from I went to college with him at UC Davis. He then went on and has had a very storied career, very respected career with the Memphis Grizzlies as their play-by-play voice. But he was one of those final four. So we each got to assigned a half of preseason basketball. I had the first half of the second of the two games against the Seattle Supersonics. So there you go, again, aging myself, a team that doesn't even exist anymore. And I thought I did great. I thought I killed it. I was certainly nervous, but I thought I did my part. Got a call back a couple days later. Scott, appreciate you coming out and being part of this. You were amazing and you didn't get the job. And I was stunned, or as the kids say, shook. That's not what I was thinking was going to happen. And so I sucked it up though. I was super happy. It was a good lesson, you know, to try to always be your best self. I could have, you know, lashed out and been a terrible, you know, received that terribly and, been rude and, but I didn't. I was very respectful and thankful that they gave me the opportunity. And so I went on my way. I did a couple of years of Sac State sports, pretty much every sport at that time, volleyball, basketball, both men and women, football. So I stayed busy in the PA space, but every once in a while, the Kings would call me in to like help every once in a while with a different event, outside, inside, halftime, something like that. So I stayed in their good graces. Fast forward 2002, it was the summer before the season started. Yes, after that Robert Horry shot, that they called and said, hey, they actually installed, the Maloofs purchased a new audio system. They're installing it in the summer and they want to hear what it sounds like with a PA voice kind of on it. You know, they were obviously testing it and talking through it, but you know, they wanted to hear it with music and what it would sound like. So they're like, can you come down at 3 o'clock today? I'm like, absolutely. I don't even know what I was doing. It wouldn't have mattered. I dropped everything and raced to Arco or Power, whatever it was called at that time. And got there, they threw me a mic. I literally just started, I imitated Ray Clay, the Bulls announcer a little bit. I just kind of, you know, I would see people in the, because the staff started coming down, Kings employees started coming into the building to hear it. I knew a few of them. So I started announcing their names as if they just scored baskets and just kind of had fun with it. And tossed the microphone back to them after, you know, 20 or so minutes of that and went on my way. I thought that was kind of fun exercise. Turns out I got a call about a couple hours later saying, you didn't know this, but that was just reminding people, especially some of the decision makers, that you are really good at this. And in fact, we want you to come in to be the public address announcer for the start of the season and ongoing. Wow. And I was as shocked as I was to receive that first phone call, I was even more shocked to receive that phone call in that way, not knowing that that's in fact what I was there for. So, you know, a lot of people took a chance on me. I still do know that I was a young guy at the time. Wendy Freskus, guys like Seth Bardicky, you know, they certainly put some faith in me, not knowing, because I hadn't done it at that level. Obviously, I was doing high school and college stuff around town, and but they saw it in me to give me a shot, and it's been a fun ride over these however 18 years since then.
So tell me, what was more nerve-wracking, putting on the headset or the sitting in front of the microphone courtside for the first time during that preseason game, or sitting in that spot the first time you actually had the job, your first real game as the new PA announcer of the Sacramento Kings? What was more nerve-wracking, or were you ready to go in both?
No, I was not ready to go in either, I think is the answer. I was very nervous. I hear every once in a while there'll be a YouTube clip someone will send me about, you know, from back then, 2002, 2003, when I was just starting. And I hear that and I'm like, who is that guy? He is awful. Like, what is he yelling for and what is happening? But, you know, I was still trying to kind of find my lane and kind of who I was. And, you know, I was obviously a fan. The year before, I sat in section 213, row E, seat 9 and 10. Those were my season tickets. So like literally I went from sitting up top, you know, a handful of rows up, down to the, you know, court side. So clearly I was overwhelmed, but I felt like I would be able to eventually get into it. They make it super easy. Obviously the production team who you gave credit to, Maurice, is still there.
Yeah.
There is a wide level of consistency with the people who have been around from Fresh Hour to a guy named Dan Spackman, who sadly not enough people know about his talent. Guy is one of the most impressive really DJs, audio engineers in the country, any sport. He's the one that has been playing that music from back then, from back in the early 2000s. So all of us, you know, we've got a chance to kind of build a rapport, a connection, knowledge with each other. And that's why we think it goes well. The chemistry works well to deliver a good experience on game night.
If you want to achieve the energy levels that Scott Moak brings to his PA job, you need to use Built Go. Built Go is the healthy replacement for your energy drink, but the energy is not fake. It's lasting and it's natural. It helps you break through your wall, makes you the best at what you do, whatever it is. It's easy to take in 1.5-ounce packages. You can put it in your briefcase for a very focused presentation. You can put it in your pocket to get through the day. You can put it in your golf bag to power through the back nine, or if you're ready to go to a sporting event and want to get extra fired up, take one right before that. Built Go is the best workout gel on the market, so you can use it also to get through that workout. It's 5-hour energy without the same crash feeling, plus it's natural, so it's better for the body. It's like drinking a monster drink with a third of the caffeine and even better results. It also comes in 3 delicious flavors: peanut butter, honey, chocolate coconut, and chocolate mint. But how does Built Go work so well? What makes it different? Well, Built Go combines energy gel with collagen protein. Now, collagen protein is a fast-absorbing protein, so it gets into your system fast, plus it's easier on the stomach. And collagen protein promotes joint, soft tissue, hair, and skin health. So the stuff literally makes you look better as well as feel better. Visit BuiltGo.com and use promo code LOCKED, LOCKED, all one word, and you'll get 20% off of your next order. Again, that's promo code LOCKED for 20% off at BuiltGo.com. So when I first started watching Kings basketball, my first game, I was 6 years old. You were not the PA announcer yet at that time. But that being said, Moak, truly, and I think there's a lot of people like me, I cannot remember a Kings basketball game that didn't start with the iconic "and now" that you open every single starting lineup with. How did that come about? How did you develop? Did that just come out one day? Did you pre-write and pre-plan that? Did you do that from day one? Or did one night you just said, I'm going to try something different here, and it ended up shticking?
No, I actually ended, I know I stole it from someone or somewhere. I mean, Ray Clay, the famous Boston, or the Chicago Bulls announcer, you know, with the Jordan Pippen era.
Right.
Especially, we all relived it this summer during quarantine, watching the documentary. you know, he actually says "and now" as part of his cadence. He doesn't dress it up quite like I do, but I'm sure that was part of where I heard that. I also know that the longtime P announcer at the high school that my dad worked at and that I went to, John F. Kennedy High School, back then the teams were very, very good, very exciting, packed gyms at a high school game at Kennedy High School. And the announcer there, his name was Hassan Hanks, and he called himself the Golden Voice, which was awesome. Like, I loved it. I vividly remember him starting games, and he would really ramp it up at the very beginning in high school to get the crowd going. And I remember him having a little bit of an "and now" somewhere in there too. So I'm certain I stole it from a number of different places. I knew that we needed to get energy started right away. Like, that's part of the new shtick of the new NBA with entertainment. So I figured let's sit on "and now" and bring the noise with it. And so it stuck. Yeah, I did it. I think I did it very early on, if not from day one, season one. And it's turned into something fun.
Well, I mean, if anybody's been to a recent Kings game at the Golden One Center, it's a show before the game starts. I mean, you guys really take seriously the full introduction process, even going so far as to make sure you troll and pay homage in some way to the opponent in there. One of my favorite things that you guys do when the Lakers or Clippers come to town is you play LA traffic. It's just brilliant. Or after when Steph Curry and the Warriors came to town, and this was after Steph Curry said something about the moon, and I can't remember what it was. You trolled him with a moon video and a moon song. It's one of my favorite things that you do. And then you transition that into these incredible pre-packaged promos mixed with music and local artists and major hip-hop artists, and then your voice coming out of it. And it brought me back to videos of, now, Moak, I don't know if you know this, I have never been to an NBA playoff game in my life. I unfortunately was not able to go to one as a kid, even though my uncle had season tickets. He would end up going with his partners or his friends or his brother. And I've been to plenty of Kings games, so I'm not complaining. I grew up literally in Arco Arena most of the time. But I've still never been to an NBA playoff game. But we've seen them televised, and you can go on YouTube and you can watch the ceremonies. You can watch the show that you guys would put on with Slamson standing on a ladder at center court holding live freaking fireworks in each hand. I mean, this telling that story but putting on that show has always been something that you and the team have taken so seriously. And you got to do that right away, taking over in the early 2000s when the Kings were really good. But that never stopped, even with the team starting to get bad. When I look at it and when I experience it, maybe I'm too sentimental because I grew up with it, but when I experience it, I see a production team and you doing your job, and I see more than, okay, we just got to hype people up for a basketball game. I see a passion for this.
Oh, yeah. I mean, no doubt. There's no way that you – people. Well, I'll say this. Kings fans are, I know, you know, it's used a lot, but I truly believe Kings fans are among the best fans in the world, because one, their passion, their intensity, their willingness to keep coming out night after night, no matter what, right? Even if the team, I mean, certainly that boo when the Kings are down by 30, but they're going to come back the next game to watch. So in terms of being a true fan, there's no one better. And you could look around the NBA at other teams, for example, some who have been excelling for years and years and years, who still aren't filling their building at 50% capacity on any given night.
De'Aaron Fox mentioned that exact thing when he was asked why he wants to stay in Sacramento a couple months ago, saying, "I've been to places like San Antonio that are empty, and that team's made the playoffs every year."
No offense to those to the Spurs fans. No offense to the Atlanta Hawks fans. No offense to some of these teams that really have a hard time getting anywhere close to filling the lower bowl of the arena. But that is not Sacramento. That is not a problem here, and it has never been. And so we feel a responsibility, everybody involved in the entertainment production side, we feel a responsibility to pay homage back to those fans who are coming and showing out and cheering and staying with this team despite the drought, despite the years of unknowing where the team's going to go. All we know the story, and everybody stuck with it. So, and look, it makes me so sad that there are so many people like you who have not experienced playoff basketball. It is among the most special experiences I've ever been a part of with not just the Kings, but any sport I've ever been in connected to. It is the most special moment, And it's truly surreal. It really is. And I am so, this is why I'm so excited for that, what's to come, because it has to come back. We have to bring the playoff back. And with the playoffs comes that next level of intensity and engagement and passion that only Kings fans can bring. So we certainly take it serious. We'll be ready come playoff time, I'll tell you that.
I've spent many a night just daydreaming, not just what the pregame show is going to be like and the moments leading up to tip-off, because even if the Kings are an eighth seed and played the number one seed Lakers and were swept, who cares? Because the moments leading up to games 3 and 4 in Sacramento, if that's all we get, we're going to make the best out of them. And you just know that from the Kings crowd. And I've thought about how amazing the downtown Commons, or also known as King's Landing, is going to look, just the bars, the businesses. I mean, we see how it's been on a Wednesday night game in the middle of winter against the Detroit Pistons. So we know that people will show up for an actual playoff experience when it does eventually come. And I've had the opportunities to go and cover Golden State Warriors playoff games, and I refuse to do it because my first NBA playoff experience, I want to be here in Sacramento. But Moak, with the amount of work and effort that you put into PA and you guys put into that pregame show and creating that environment and creating that energy, there's no way that the players don't feed off of that. Have you had interactions of players, both Sacramento Kings and even opponents, coming up to you going, man, you guys put on a great show, or I love this, this is firing me up, this is awesome? Because every once in a while, I will watch and I catch Kings players and opponents looking up at the Jumbotron, watching and enjoying the show with everybody else.
For sure. I mean, it's the, you know, kind of what's happened now over the last handful of years is, you know, players are taking notice to what's happening on social media, right? And it's always great when a player picks up on something that's really funny. Obviously, King's account, King's social, is among the best in the land when it comes to being clever and creative and funny and witty, all those things. We rewind the clock before that. It was that exact phenomenon that you would try. You'd try to get them to laugh. You'd try to get them to engage with that video skit that you were doing, or something that you were doing live in, you know, during a timeout in game. It was always the best testament to our team whenever we could put together something that was smart and clever and simple and funny, and, you know, that you can cram in a 2-minute and 30-second timeout during a break. You know, they got not just the crowd laughing and engaged, but got the players hooked too. That was the gold, man.
So I know you have stories of just different moments that you've seen or interactions that you had. I wanted to ask about one in particular because it's something I paid close attention to, and it's not a big deal, at least from my understanding of it. But if I don't have a good understanding of it, feel free to gloss over it and not want to talk about it. But a couple years ago, Kings, Golden State Warriors, inside the Golden One Center, you and Kevin Durant had some interesting interactions, and it all had to do with there was a player, a Golden State Warrior, who was bleeding, and you had a couple of times the action had to stop, and of course you would announce the stoppage, and you used the term, I think, infectious disease control. Am I correct?
That is exactly correct.
And Kevin Durant, he didn't seem to like that too much, and you guys were jawing back and forth, or he made it very clear he would walk towards the table to talk to you a little bit, and it looked like an interesting interaction from my seat all the way at the top of Upper Bowl. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, no, it was a funny one, and the what's crazy is those are moments that, you know, that I've been saying that term at any moment when an official stops the game for the blood rule, right? Which that's kind of what it's referred to kind of in short is the blood rule. But the actual verbiage inside of the rule book is infectious disease control. So that is what they are ultimately trying to do, is control any kind of infectious disease that could happen. Ironically, this is what we're talking about now inside of a pandemic,
right?
How ironic is that? But yes, so there was a time 10 plus years ago when the rule really took shape that they wanted PA announcers to announce the exact, specifically what the timeout was for, because, you know, you have an official's timeout, you have team timeouts. There are a variety of different media timeouts. There are different timeouts. You can't just say timeout, because people will be like, wait, what, who called that? What timeout? So that the NBA at one point wanted us to say it's a timeout for infectious disease control, or infectious disease control timeout. So I've been saying that for a decade or more. What's crazy is, I guess, nobody had heard that before KD heard that. And, you know, he was standing down to the side. He didn't like that it was said. So he walks down to the table, just like you're indicating. He may, you know, and it's obviously also confusing. You've got, you know, 15 people sitting on a table, all with a headset and a microphone. There's no way people, especially players, can know exactly who it is that's talking and who's not. We all kind of look the same. And so, but he had come over to me and said, "What'd you say?" And I said, I said, infectious disease control. I said, "Did you not like that?" He said, "No, I don't like that." I said, "Well, I'm sorry. There's nothing I can do about it." And he kind of laughed at that point. So then he goes back. And if you remember, which I know you do because you always get all the details, is literally the next possession.
Yep. Yep.
Aaron Fox gets elbowed in the face, has blood coming down his like cheek. I say the same exact thing. Timeout for infectious disease control. Dan Spagman, by the way, brilliant, plays Bleeding Love by Leona Lewis.
Of course.
Right? No, of course, very few people catch that, but that's fantastic. And KD stands up from his bench. I glance down there and he's like, "I got you. I see you. Okay. I see what you're doing." Like that. I did it both ways. He appreciated it afterwards. You know, he said, "No, I'm good with that guy. Like, I love that he called me that guy," but it was certainly one that was, picked up a lot and one that was very funny. And KD's a riot anyway.
Yeah. We know KD's a character and we know he has no problem being the villain and saying what he's got to say. So that interaction was very clear from all of us in the media. And I know fans took notice of it, but you could see almost the fun and the teasing in the interaction, especially the second time when he stood up from the bench and kind of pointed at you and nodded. I have to wonder though, I can't imagine what his reaction would have been if you just said a normal timeout when, the same thing. Oh boy. Part of me wants to go to a parallel universe to see what would have happened there with Kevin Durant, because you know he would have spoken his mind regardless of the situation. But Moak, I could ask you about different stories and have you tell stories for hours here. But is there one that jumps to mind, or maybe even a couple short ones that jump to mind when I just ask for stories of interactions that you've had with players or moments you've been a part of from your incredible seat there in either Arco or the Golden One Center?
Sure. I mean, as we were talking about player interaction and like in real time, it did take me. I remember it was when Tracy McGrady was playing. Tracy had, you know, he had a knack, whether it was with Toronto and then ultimately with Houston, mostly with Houston, that he had, you know, such a nice scoring career. He came down. It was halftime. I think he had already had, don't quote me on this, I don't remember these details. That's what guys like you were for. But I would say he had somewhere in the 26, 28, 30 points at half. So, I mean, he was on fire against the Kings. He comes down there. We're getting ready. We're doing our second half pump up, getting everybody all fired up. You know, second half of Kings basketball, getting ready. You know, are you ready, Kings fans? All that stuff. Well, I look, and Tracy McGrady's walking down the table like normal, and he's going to use the little sticky pad that often sits right in front of me.
Right.
So he kind of bends down. He's got a little talc on his hands and he's like staring at me. He's got, you know, and he's just kind of looking at me out of the side of his face. He's just staring at me. I'm talking a little bit. He knows I'm the PA announcer. He can tell. And he waits till I'm done. He says, "T-Mac in the second half." And I'm like, "What?" He said, I want you to call me T-Mac. I'm not calling you T-Mac. I'm all, "You don't play for the Kings. I can't call you T-Mac." He's all, "You're going to shut down T-Mac?" I'm like, "I'm shutting down T-Mac." And he laughed and walked back on the court. So what was cool is I literally was the only person that shut down T-Mac that night. That was what was great. I mean, ultimately, moral of the story.
I tell you what, if that had been me in that position, you know what I would have said, Moak? "Yes, sir, Mr. T-Mac. Whatever you want, Mr. T-Mac. Absolutely. Whatever you want."
I got the Kings heart and soul, the fans' heart and soul with me down there. I'll tell you that. But look, hey, another. I will say, there's been a lot of special moments, a lot of you know, opportunities to cheer and root and be a true fan, and obviously a lot of those playoff experiences certainly come to mind with the production and everything we did. But I will say, the work that everybody did, the team, beyond just the production team, business, sponsorships, really everybody, to open Golden One Center will probably remain
right.
I just don't know how a memory can be greater than that as a Kings fan, as someone who was a small part of it. I mean, that just because of the litany of painful moments that we faced you know, over those all those years of Anaheim and Virginia Beach and Seattle and the moving and the insurance and the framework of a deal, like all of that stuff, like culminating into that moment where we knew we were in a new home, we were going to be in a new home, everybody's settled, everybody's secure. I mean, announcing that game was something that I was super emotional before the game, after the game. It was super fun to announce it during, you know, getting used to our new digs. But man, that one is certainly, that's atop the list.
I love Arco Arena. I will forever love that building. And sometimes it's painful to drive through Natomas and to see that building and remember the amazing moments that we shared in that building. Now, Golden One Center legitimizes the city of Sacramento more than anything else. And I absolutely adore the Golden One Center. I cannot wait to be back in it with 17,000 screaming fans. But when I first saw Golden One Center being built, and I intentionally chose not to go to any preseason games in the Golden One Center. I wanted my first experience in the G1C to be opening night against, I think it was it Houston or San Antonio?
Yes.
One of the,
yeah, see, those are your things, bro. I can't keep all that in my
some brain. Team from Texas. Kings lost the yes. game, but that doesn't matter. It was a celebration that night anyway. But I remember having concerns, like one thing that made Arco Arena so great is, yeah, it was small. Yeah, it was older. Didn't have all the bells and whistles, but that building got loud. Just
loud.
Incredibly loud. And I was worried about losing some of that with kind of the open environment of the Golden One Center. Those worries were immediately put to death on opening night with that crowd. And even like we've seen, look, the Sacramento Kings, we know are not a good basketball team. They haven't been a good basketball team for a very long time. But every time Scott Freshour and Slamson on stilts come out and pump that crowd up at the start of the fourth quarter, even at 75% capacity, I look around and go, damn, this place is loud. So
rocking and rolling. That's exactly right. And look, those are the kinds of things that I mean when I say, you know, a lot of people had so much influence on making that night special, not just the production team and Slamson on his stilts and Fresh and building videos and sound and pyro and all that stuff. But like, look, the intentionality that the ownership and the architects and leadership at the time took to ensure that the noise level was going to be transferred from Arco to Golden One by putting so many people in the lower bowl. Remember, one of my favorite things is you could sit, if we walk ourselves back to Natomas right now and we could sit in the last row of the lower bowl, the very top row of the lower bowl at Golden One Center, you would now have anywhere between 10 and 13 more rows behind you.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you're talking about getting more sound closer to the court, closer to the action. I mean, it was ingenious, really, and it certainly pays dividends. And man, when that building, you fantasize, romanticize about it come playoff time. I do the same thing. I can't wait for people to have that experience inside of that building.
I mean, I fantasize about going back to moments like the freaking California Classic when Marvin Bagley had his dunk. Or, I mean, even the Bogdan Bogdanovic game winner when half of the crowd was LA Lakers supporters and it still was deafeningly loud in that building. So, man, I can't wait for that day. But, Moak, we'll wrap up with this. You have incredible calls, such a unique style with even the aggressiveness and excitement that you announce King's ball on just a basic out-of-bounds call or a traveling call or an offensive foul call. And then, of course, you have the greatness that is like the Yogi Ferrell chant. And I know it didn't work out back in the day, but the Marco Polo, Marco Bellinelli three-point chant. Do you have just a favorite, a chant that you look forward to doing the most or a call you look forward to doing the most or something that it's just like every time I get the opportunity to say this, I put everything I have into it?
I mean, I'd be lying if I didn't say, you know, right at the beginning, right at the top, the and now and the intro sequence is always, you know, I'm going to go 106%. If that's possible to do, I'm going to do it. Those things that you mentioned, getting fans involved, you know, getting, you know, the Yogi thing for sure was just super fun and just shows how awesome and creative Kings fans are. I didn't know what was going to happen. And we've talked about that. I didn't know what my intention was by saying just Yogi. I didn't know what was going to happen. I didn't know what I wanted them to say. I just knew it was a cool name to say, and I had to do it like that. So the fact that they picked up on it and they're now involved, I mean, you know, those to me are the special things. I know there'll be more to come too. I know that people have plans for other ways to get fans more and more involved. So, you know, it's all special to me, and I just want basketball back, right, man. I want us to all be together. I'm ready for this whole thing to be over so that we can be cheering on that team that you and I and so many thousands of others grew up with.
I'm not saying this podcast episode and this interview hasn't been fantastic, Moak, but we might have been just doing self-inflicted wounds here, because I now am even more painfully waiting for the Golden One Center to reopen. And whenever it happens, if it's months from now, even if it's a year from now, and God, I hope it's not that long. I mean, it's hard enough right now to be at the end of October and going into November and December without looking forward to those events and those games. But when it does happen, that might as well be opening night of the Golden One Center all over again, because people are going to be there, and hopefully you will be there just absolutely rocking the place like you normally do. And I love what you do, and I enjoy being a part of it, and it's an honor to be able to have you on. It's an honor, truly, to have your voice opening up this Locked On Kings podcast, something that I never ever would think would happen, and I can't wait to hear you doing what you do best.
Thanks, buddy. It's always a tremendous opportunity to catch up with you. I love your passion, and you are one of the diehards, and you understand it from also the craft that you have to carefully navigate as a fan. I know that's not easy, so you do a masterful job. I love the pod, always fun to listen to, and truly thanks for having me on.
Man, Scott Moak fires me up. I cannot wait to hear his voice again ringing through the Golden One Center with 17,000 fans absolutely going crazy. Hopefully we'll get to it sooner than later. We actually had some news today in regards to a potential start date for next season happening just before Christmas time. Of course, if that's the case, the likelihood of fans being in attendance would be relatively low. We'll talk about that more next week on Locked On Kings. But as for right now and for this week, we are done. Thank you so much for getting all the way through, not just this week, but this episode of the Locked On Kings podcast. Hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. Hope you have a greater appreciation for Scott Moak and what he and the fantastic Kings entertainment team do on a nightly basis. And if you are one of my international listeners or outside of Sacramento listeners and you've not gotten the opportunity to go to a Kings game and hear Moak in his element, either look it up online or, even better, when the world reopens and when Kings basketball returns, find a way to get here and experience a game. He adds to the experience, and you will understand why he is so closely ingrained into the hearts of Kings fans, and he is so synonymous with Sacramento Kings basketball for all of us. Have a great weekend. As always, stay safe, stay healthy, and I can't wait to talk to you next week. Until then, my name is Matt George. You have been listening to the Locked On Kings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.